Is this before the clot, actually?
This isn't a clot. This is heart failure. Okay. Not. This isn't a heart attack.
Fluid backing up from the...
Yeah.
So
I'm just wondering how long it'll take to...
Fluid overload typically starts happening before you start getting symptomatic. What happens is people get a little bit of shortness of breath, and they stop doing activity. So they're never really short of breath. They just don't do anything anymore. So it's sometimes hard to tell. And then in terms of heart failure, what is the body's response to decreased cardiac output? So... to decreased cardiac output. Epinephrine, norepinephrine, renin-angiotensin, aldosterone. So the other signs and symptoms of heart failure are tachycardia and high blood pressure.
Why is it different? Like, people say that still had a heart failure or MI. Is that like one leads to the other?
No. Okay, the most common cause of heart failure in our country is heart attacks. So when you have a heart attack, some of your heart muscle dies. If enough of it dies, your heart can't pump enough blood anymore. There's just not enough muscle left, and that leads to heart failure, which is heart failure is not enough blood being pumped to meet the body's need. The body says, whoa, hypoxia, hello, not getting enough oxygen. And it responds with epinephrine, norepinephrine, renin-angiotensin, aldosterone, which causes all the other symptoms.
What is the major difference between treating heart failure on a med-surg unit and in an ICU?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Oh, that was that one thing that you give... So you can only give in the ICU.
Well, let's start with what's the most important thing about med-surg treatment of heart failure? What are we going to do to them? Okay, we are going to do daily weight, but how are we going to treat that daily weight? Diuretics. So diuresis is the foundation of when a patient gets admitted to a med-surg floor for heart failure, diuresis. Now, if a patient is so severe that diuresis by itself isn't enough, we got to send them to the ICU. What are they going to do there? What are they going to do in the ICU?
You better go off if he needs to. There's one drug that you can only give.
Those are all out. Those can all be given outpatient. Those big five, by the way.
Am I thinking of the right thing? The one drug that you give in the ICU and nowhere else.
There are several drugs you give in the ICU and nowhere else.
For
heart failure, yeah. I'm asking for that. Well, two drug things.
Just give me a minute.
What is heart failure ultimately?
And really dangerous drug that
if your heart isn't pumping enough, because it doesn't have enough power, are there drugs that we can use to increase the power? What are those called? Yeah, increase the actual strength of contraction.
Inotropic.
So one is inotropics, and in this case, digoxin is not strong enough. We need levofed or dopamine or dobutamine.
And BNP.
And the other one is the artificial BNP, which is called nesirotide or NatriCore. No, those are both ICU drugs.
Or
say again.
Dopamine.
Artificial BNP and inotropic drugs. Those you'd never give on the med-surg floor, at least for now. Maybe 15 years from now you will, but for now you don't.
And BNP?
Nesirotide will cause vasodilation and diuresis.
That's the BNP drug.
Right, that's the BNP. It's like NASERITIDE.
It's going to increase diuresis.
It's going to increase diuresis and vasodilation. Both of which will make it easier for the heart to pump.
And BNP is used to...
Levofed is norepinephrine.
How is BNP used to assess heart failure?
How is BNP used to assess heart failure?
I don't remember, that's what I'm asking.
Well, does BNP go up or down during heart failure?
Up.
It goes up. So if you check a blood level, if it's high, that means the patient is in heart failure. Now, you will have at least one question about New York Heart Association classification of heart failure.
Right, so class 3 and class 4.
So class 1, class 2, class 3, and class 4 heart failure.
Oh, so class 1 is not shortness of breath. Class 2 is when you have shortness of breath with exertion.
Low exertion.
Low?
With moderate to high exertion.
I was going to say, it says lots. So
yeah.
Three is in the middle.
Three is moderate exertion.
So moderate exertion. And then four is at rest.
Yes.
So again, class okay. One for the New York, whatever.
The New York Heart Association, the NYHA.
Class one is you have no shortness of breath. Class two is when you have shortness of breath with high exertion. Class three is when you have shortness of breath with moderate to low exertion. And class four is when you have shortness of breath at rest.
All right. You ready to do the must-know drugs now?
No. We still have, 20 questions.
I can figure out it.
Well, I might run out of battery, and then you won't have the must-know drugs to listen to.
You don't have other batteries?
Yeah, but this takes a special kind of battery. See, it takes this special LR44 battery.
Can we take a potty break?
Yeah, and it's 4 o'clock, and I need to go home soon. So, you guys have a whole week. I mean, until Wednesday, a whole half a week.
We have a whole Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, you have a whole Monday and Tuesday.
Wait, you said the Mug Snow Drug list is online, right?
Yes, the Mug Snow Drug. PatHeyman.com, yes. What? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because most of those must know drugs are from things that we've just done.
But it's also the same list that we need to know for next search, too, right?
Yes, for next semester.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every single drug on that must know drug list we've covered in these two classes, and most of them will be on your test. It's under Pat Heyman's /nursing must know. There's a separate folder for it. Yes. There's only. It says must know PPT. All of the drugs are in one file.
Do you know how long all of your podcasts are?
No.
Yeah, there's some podcasts that aren't working.
I know. I thought I had fixed them, but apparently, one of the problems is that once iTunes sees that there's a problem with a file, it never wants to. It can't get it through its head that it's been fixed. It should work. So, but it's only two files, if they're ones from this week. So you can just download them manually. All right. But I'll take a look at it again. In PowerPoint to minimize?
Yeah, when it's full screen, how do you break it down? Escape?
Escape, yeah.
But this is get out.
Did you go back?
Yeah,
it's down there. Is it down
there?
Yeah. Is that saved?
Yes.
Yeah, that dog.
All right, let's go. Next question.
Can I give my 30K on Monday?
Case study on Monday?
It's almost done.
No, it's due today.
Yeah, it's due today, yeah.
You can give it to me whenever you like, but there will be some points taken off for that.
Oh, you can have mine.
Taken off. Are you serious?
I was going to milk it for another day.
And we still have half of it left.
What?
Wait, do you have to sing that little jingle when we do it?
I'm going
to
email it to you today, okay? It's not late.
Is she saying that I'm Superman or is that she's Supergirl?
I don't know. What's Supergirl's name again?
Help me. Don't email it. Put it in the Dropbox. E-College? E-College Dropbox?
Did you highlight? Here, go. You have to, highlight it all.
All right, so next question. What are the four types of hypersensitivity reaction? For Pizzo B. Yeah. Because this will also help you when you're a senior. So, what are the four types of hypersensitivity reactions? Okay, and now explain what those are.
Well, hang on, I gotta write them down.
And then give an example of each. Cell-mediated is number four. You should do immune complex first, or antigen-antibody complex.
Anaphylactic, cytotoxic,
immune complex.
You know, you have notes that say this thing.
Yeah,
you don't have to retype it all. I mean, I don't
Anaphylactic
is caused by bee stings. Also, asthma and... allergic rhinitis are also type 1 reactions.
What about, we had a question on this on one of our quizzes or tests or something about a blood reaction.
Yep.
I
thought
that was anaphylactic.
Nope.
Is that immune complex?
Nope. Cytotoxic is when you have antibodies being formed against your own body. So that would be blood. You know, blood transfusions are considered type 2 because you produce antibodies against the blood in your own body, even though it's not technically your blood.
That's
it's your blood now.
That's
and then also type 1 diabetes, where you start destroying your own pancreas with antibodies, is also a cytotoxic reaction.
Okay, so antibodies attacking yourself is cytotoxic.
Right.
All right.
The reason for that, the cytotoxic reaction in a transfusion reaction is happening all over your body because you have blood all over your body. So you've got inflammation all over your body. So it's a little bit different case. I mean, it's basically caused by that cytotoxic, but because it's everywhere, you're going to experience different symptoms than you would from like type 1 diabetes. No, because that's not antibodies. Liver transplant is T cells, which is cell mediated.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
But let's not do cell mediated yet. Let's do the next one, type 3. The immune complex. What's the problem there? You have antibodies attaching to antigens floating in the bloodstream down to somewhere else in the body and then causing collateral damage. Most food poisoning is type 3. Systemic lupus erythematosus is type 3. Steven Johnson syndrome is type 3. Then fluffing of the skin. Then type 4, cell mediated, is where you have T cells telling macrophages to attack something on your body. And the examples of that are contact dermatitis. So like if you have a rash to something that you touch, like poison ivy, or if you have, you know, if you can't use cheap jewelry because you get a rash, that's also type 4. And organ transplant rejection is also type 4, cell mediated.
How
Splenectomy patients, what?
It's where the spleen and the liver attack platelets because the platelets have a certain antibody on them that makes them attack.
Yeah,
it's so like what, IPT or something like that.
What about it? That would be an allergic reaction. It's a hypersensitivity reaction. They're all allergic reactions. They're all allergic reactions. I mean, in either case, you're going to have antibodies involved, but specifically cytotoxic is antibodies being formed, whereas the other one is mainly T cells and macrophages. If it's a transfusion reaction from getting someone else's platelets, it's probably going to be cytotoxic. No. Next. List the drugs that comprise the standard of care for MIs and how each one improves MI pathophysiology. List each of the drugs that comprises the MI standard of care and how that drug interacts with the MI pathophysiology. So, if a person has an MI, what are we going to do for them?
Aspirin.
Right? So, we can start with Mona. So, we've got morphine, oxygen, nitrates, aspirin. And now some other drugs.
The five drugs that you have?
No, those are heart failure. Do not confuse heart failure and heart attacks. Well, we've already got an antiplatelet.
We do.
Aspirin.
Are you pointing to morphine?
Yeah. So, in a heart attack, cardiac output goes down. What drugs? Here in 5 minutes. In about 15.
You want to stay in my
second part? Sure. No, I want you to go to the Christmas party that Gunderhand is supposed to be at.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why you're staying.
The president's party. You should not blow off the
president. Yeah, but you do only drop by for a few minutes, though.
You're coming over to Smile TV, right?
I'll even wear my jacket.
That was good. Okay. All right. I have something I need to tell you.
Okay.
Alright.
I'll be over there. Goes down. So how does the body respond? So what drugs do we give them? Counteract.
You're going to give
Nope.
It's the one
that decreases. All right. Let's. Right. Okay. Now, listen. In a heart attack, cells are dying, so the heart doesn't work as well. So you have decreased cardiac output. The heart is trying to survive. Your body says, "Shut up, you big whiner. Work the way you're supposed to work." And it says that by releasing epinephrine, norepinephrine, renin-angiotensin, and aldosterone. So that makes the heart pump harder. Now, and that worsens the damage to the heart. So we want to counteract that with a beta blocker. Give me the name of one.
Metoprolol.
What else? ACE inhibitor. Like lisinopril. And now there's aldactone is not right because that's over the course of heart failure is over the course of months. This is over the course of just a day or two. And then it has nothing to do with any of the others. A statin. And then optional drugs are heparin. Heparin or Lovenox. And integrelin, which is a GP2B3A inhibitor. So, how does morphine improve pathophysiology? Okay, it takes away the pain. Now, when you have heart pain in a heart attack, what does that make you feel like? I can't breathe. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. It makes you more anxious, which was what to your epinephrine? Norepinephrine? Makes it go up. So by reducing the pain, it helps you to calm down and relax. Next one is oxygen. How does that help?
It gives more oxygen to the blood.
Super oxygenates your blood, so whatever blood does go around the body and the heart, there's more oxygen in it. Nitrates, how does that help? Vasodilation, which makes it easier for the heart to pump and reduces cardiac output by reducing preload, which reduces the consumption of the heart. So it doesn't need as much oxygen, less hypoxic damage will take place. Aspirin. Aspirin is the most important drug to give because it stops platelet aggregation, which reduces the size of the clot by preventing it from growing larger. Next one is our beta blocker, the metoprolol. How does that help? Lowers contractility and lowers heart rate, both of which help reduce the myocardial demand. It also lowers conduction. What's most likely to kill a patient within the first 72 hours after a heart attack if they survive the initial heart attack? Dysrhythmias. So it helps to reduce dysrhythmias. ACE inhibitor. How does ACE inhibitor work? It vasodilates, which helps the heart be able to pump more easily, and it also inhibits aldosterone, which, well, not so much the sodium retention, but in this case, we're giving it because we don't want the remodeling of the heart. The next one is the statin, and the statin stabilizes the clot, making it less likely to rupture, and can also reduce the sizes of clots. So, give me the name of a statin you're supposed to know. No. Simvastatin. Nystatin is not a statin. Nystatin is an antifungal drug.
Yeah, I knew that.
Next, we have heparin and Lovenox. What do they do?
Heparin.
So, they're anticoagulants. So they're going to help the aspirin to work better. Then integrelin. What is integrelin?
It's GP2B3A inhibitor.
And what does it do? Helps the
fibrin connecting to the aspirin.
Which helps the aspirin to work better.
Yeah.
All right.
Our group is small.
Dun, 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 dun. You guys should be the only people in the whole nursing program.
Yay!
Next question.
Did we pass?
No, we want everybody else.
How do GP2B3A inhibitors work, which Aaron just told us? And
fibrin.
When are they used now? They inhibit fibrin from binding to platelets. When are they used? What conditions?
MI.
Well, MI. And what's MI? What's the bigger disease process of MI called? Acute coronary syndrome, which is unstable angina and MIs together. And what's the other thing we would use it for? PCIs. Percutaneous coronary interventions.
Oh, wow.
So, cath lab procedures. Next, what are the three major conditions that cause system fluid overload?
Cause it.
And then briefly describe how.
Overload?
Yes.
System fluid, so you talk about
your entire body, systemic.
Heart failure,
kidney failure, liver failure. All right, so let's start with the easiest one. How does kidney failure cause it?
No dumping of the water for the kidneys or lack of...
Yeah. Yeah, your kidneys can't get rid of water, so you hold on to it. That one's easy. Next one, let's do heart failure.
If it's so easy, how can we know
what
the
huge
review for
hours on it? Ooh, that's a good question.
I said it's easy. I didn't say there's not a lot of it.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of it.
Are you going to
hold
the door for something?
Yeah.
You'll have fun,
man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I
think you should do the test. Like,
are
you
going?
Yeah, right.
Their head will be so full of stuff, it won't work.
I can't think of my name.
So the next one, liver or heart failure. How does heart failure?
Backing up into the lungs, right?
What's the body's response to decreased?
To
decrease cardiac output.
Increased heart rate.
See, you said no.
Renin. Angiotensin, aldosterone. Aldosterone causes fluid retention. I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, but heck, that's good enough for now.
Yeah.
Liver failure. How does liver failure work? Now getting a little trickier. You should know this one. You had a liver failure patient.
Protein.
Okay, so protein is down. Which protein in particular? Albumin. And that causes, what was the first question you did on this little review? What was the first?
Osmotic
pressure goes down, which causes
third spacing,
edema, and ascites. So you have to replace that fluid, and that causes fluid overload. Edema.
Third spacing.
Yeah, because it goes into your third space.
So your body goes, hey, wait a minute, what happened to that water? I need some more. Next thing you know, the person's carrying around, you know, 40 pounds of water on their abdomen.
Ew, that's gross.
Kills bugs dead. Next one.
There are six treatments.
Oh, six treatments for potassium.
High potassium. Digoxin.
No.
Insulin.
Okay. All right, insulin.
Insulin.
Bicarbonate. Calcium gluconate. Let's go in terms of duration. What's the quickest one?
Potassium.
No, it is potassium. Calcium is the quickest. What's next?
Bicarb.
Insulin and bicarb are kind of together in terms of quickness. All right, then what? What's the longer acting now? Yes, sodium bicarb. Do we know any drugs that have low potassium? Diuretics, so you can give a diuretic.
That makes you
retain. Yeah, and someone said this a second ago. It's a gel that pulls it out of your gut.
Gel?
K-oxalate.
Oh, that's nice.
All right, now let's think kidney failure. No, we already have diuretics up there.
Mm-hmm.
You only have five so far. You need one more. Now, let's think kidney failure. What's the treatment?
Dialysis.
Dialysis.
Oh, really?
Yes. The ultimate treatment for potassium, high potassium, is dialysis.
That's an order of effectiveness?
Or, yeah, kidney replacement.
Or that's the order in which you would start
life. In terms of calcium gluconate works 10 minutes. Okay. Insulin and bicarb work 30 minutes. Diuretics and KXLate, 24 hours. Okay. Dialysis, you know, long term. Either one. Your patient's on IV Lasix. What is the major electrolyte to monitor?
Potassium.
If the physician orders supplementation of potassium, what is the major assessment you should perform before administering that electrolyte?
Major assessment?
Assessment.
Lower leg cramps? Blood pressure? Wait, for what?
Wait, for K?
What is the
Is there low? The patient has low K. And you're supposed to give K.
Heart rate.
What would you check before you give the K?
If the person is urinating. If the person
is
urinating.
No. Urinary output. No. We can use Lasix to treat high potassium. Remember, Lasix always causes hypokalemia. Right. Or doesn't always, but if it's going to do something, it's going to cause hypokalemia.
Okay. That's a beta 2, right?
List a drug used to induce labor. Now, these next three are peds OB questions, which we don't really cover here. Now, the drug to induce labor is oxytocin. The drug. As far as nursing action, you can look that up later. List the drug that is the antidote to the above drug. Actually, that's not really
someone
true.
Gave that.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the one that?
Yeah.
Okay. But magnesium sulfate or mag sulfate is the answer to the next one. What we really use it for is preeclampsia, and the major assessment there is deep tendon reflexes. Magnesium overdose causes reduction in muscle, and the way you check for that is by checking deep tendon reflexes.
Next.
You can make a person stop breathing by giving them too much magnesium. What drug can be used to stop or slow labor? And you should know that one from Pathopharm 1. Yep. Nope. This is the beta 2 agonist. Terbutaline. Yeah. And what they gave the patient oxytocin instead of giving them terbutaline at St. Mary's. And Professor Drum is not going to call it terbutaline. She's going to call it by the brand name, which is Brethine. Professor Drum.
Brethine.
Brethine. Yeah, she's a peds OB person. All right, next. What's the difference between heparin and Lovenox? I don't need to do that one. Your patient has atrial fibrillation and is scheduled for cardioversion. What assessment would be done beforehand and why? Assessment. In this case, it's not something you can do. It's something the physician will have to order. Not an ECG.
Echo.
Not an echo. Actually, it is a kind of echo.
Is it a P?
Is
that the one that you look behind the heart?
Yeah,
heart
nice.
Stick.
Yeah.
It is an endoscopic procedure. TEE, which stands for?
Transesophageal
echocardiogram. Why do we do that? To check if we're looking to the back of the heart, but what are we looking for?
Clots.
So we want to make sure the clots are gone. So really the two things that are going to be done, one, we're going to check the patient's bleeding times. They need to be anticoagulated. The second is we're going to check to see if there's clots. You'll need both of those before you can shock them. Otherwise, you risk killing the patient.
So you want them to be on anticoagulation?
Right. So the next answer. The next question. Oh, never mind. All right, next question is your patient's got a history of DVTs and his INR is 2.5. What are we going to do to his warfarin?
2.5 is good. It should be 3, right?
But he has DVT. No, wait, yeah, it's normal.
Yeah, so it's fine, nothing, right?
So it's normal. We're going to do nothing. We're going to keep it the same.
The cardio mechanism.
Let's read the next question. Your patient has mechanical heart valve. He's on warfarin. He's got a 2.5 INR. We need to increase the dose.
What was the
INR?
2.5.
So.
Yeah, but he's got a valve.
What's the mechanical heart valve? No, but for the mechanical heart valve number, it has to be higher.
I think that's pretty good. You can look. You can do the other stuff on your own.
Can you make a copy of this one?
You can.
Of that one, though. That's Jones.
She's typing it. Ask her to print out a copy for you. Maybe Monday. All right. I got to go.